Every seat is the best when you're looking up. You won't miss any of it when you're looking up. Too many times we're looking out at others. We're looking in at ourselves. We're looking down on others. We have to be looking up at our possibilities. We have to be looking up at where God has seated us with Christ in heavenly places. Well, welcome to a brand new episode of Think Like a Champion. We are dedicated on this podcast to helping you win in every way and enjoy every day. You know, God created you to enjoy your life, right? He created you to live with absolute joy. Now, it doesn't mean that everything that happens in our lives is always going to be good, but it means we can always find the good and we can always rejoice anyway. And again, I say, Paul said, rejoice. So we're going to experience joy. We're going to experience victory. Thinking Like a Champion is dedicated to you rising and being empowered to rise to your full sense of worth and purpose. God has such great worth towards you. He sees you as so powerful and so valuable and so lovable. That's how God sees you. And you have an amazing purpose and destiny for your life. And welcome to our new studio. You'll see around me some of the symbols of Think Like a Champion, some of the themes that we have as we walk forward in our victorious relationship with God and our victory over the enemies that come against our soul, the enemies that come against our minds, the enemy that comes against our hearts, our families. And so we're here to enforce the victory that Jesus already paid for. But you'll see here, we got Training for Reigning. We got Happy Imperfect People, HIP. We've got we got a cool neon light that says stay with it, because those are three words that should mark each of our lives, no matter what's going on in your life, stay with it. And of course, we've got some boxing gloves and some Rocky memorabilia that you can see over here as well. And I just love the theme that God has given us, to think like a champion. That doesn't mean you're necessarily an athlete. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily a business executive. It just means that you adopt the mindsets that most champions possess. And in life, Jesus is the author of the greatest victory of all over sin, over the devil, over fear, over anxiety. And so let's experience the victory that he has for us. I want to dive into today's theme and today's topic on the power of comparing ourselves. We have to give ourselves permission to stop comparing ourselves. Comparison is a trap that causes every one of us to, at one point or another, see ourselves as smaller than we are. It always leads to negativity. And I want you to break the power of comparison in your life. And when we compare, we despair, as we've all heard this before. But when you compare, you either have to be negative toward the person you're comparing yourself to, which makes you like a hater, or you end up being negative towards yourself, which makes you like a self-hater. So that's why God gives us the remedy for comparing ourselves and breaking the power of the comparison trap and stepping out of the comparison trap. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, Paul the apostle, who was one of the great apostles that has ever lived, but he said this about himself. He said, we do not dare to compare. Don't dare to compare. He said, we do not dare to compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They are not wise. What he's saying is they compare themselves with others that are like them, and it shows such a lack of wisdom because they're measuring by what they see in somebody else. And the New Living Translation says it really powerfully. It says, oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men. So he's kind of giving them a little jab here. He said, oh, we wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they're only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. How ignorant, Paul says in the New Living Translation of that verse. What a powerful verse. And it's really, when you think about it, if you go back to that verse for a moment, let me read that to you again, because there's a real powerful part of that. It says, he says, we don't dare, we wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. Boy, that's the first sign of insecurity in a person's life, and it should be a first sign to you to do something about it if you're finding it in your life, where you have to tell other people how important you are. I've always found that when I hear a preacher or a business person or somebody who's done exceedingly well, if they're talking about themselves and how important they are and how much they've done, that's a turnoff for me. Like, we already know if that person is successful, if that person is well known, we already know that they've succeeded. We don't need to hear from them how important they are, because that's proof of how unimportant they actually feel. Because the only way that you would want to talk about how important you are is to compensate for how unimportant that you feel. And so God would rather each of us realize how important we are to Him, so that we don't ever have to live in the comparison of how important we are to others. And I like what also the Message translation says in this verse. The Passion, it's either the Passion translation or the Message translation. I wrote it down, but I don't know. I didn't write down which one it was, but it says, of course, we wouldn't dare to put ourselves in the same class or compare ourselves with those who rate themselves so highly. They compare themselves to one another and make up their own standards to measure themselves by, and then they judge themselves by their own standards. What self-delusion. Now, you realize that we don't have to talk about how important we are. We don't have to try to obtain a seat at the table, so to speak, when we realize we already have one. And that's why I want royalty to destroy inferiority in your life. I've said this for years, that the greatest cure for inferiority is not superiority. It's not to try to be better than somebody else. If you feel inferior to someone or something else, the cure for inferiority is not superiority. It's not to find a way to be higher than them or better than them. The cure for inferiority is royalty. And when I say royalty, I mean each one of us. If you are a child of God, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe in Him, it makes you a child of God also. And as a child of God, that means you're a part of the royal family of God. He's the King of Kings, right? Jesus is the King of Kings. God is on the throne. And you know that no matter what's going on in this world today, God's still on the throne, right? And you know what else is so great? Is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And you know what's still great, even more great, is that He has seated us with Him next to the Father in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that we were raised up with Him and seated with Him. In fact, it says He has made us to sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has made us to sit with Him. See, this is what's going to obliterate this comparison that we constantly come up against. It's such a negative feeling, isn't it? When you look at your pictures on Instagram or your videos on TikTok, and you've got 100 views or 1,000 views or 100,000 views, but somebody has 500 million views, and you can't escape that comparison trap when you are looking for those things, when you're looking for validation by how many people follow you, or in the case of my profession, how big your church is, or how well known it is. Like, none of those things matter to God, honestly. And one of the things that COVID reinforced in me is we got to stop counting the people in our churches. We got to stop counting all the people in our churches and start making sure all the people in our churches count. I had to pause there, because you should seriously double click on that point. Seriously though, we need to make sure everybody counts rather than counting everybody. You see, God wants everybody to count. You count in God's kingdom. You count. You matter in God's kingdom. You're seated with Him in heavenly places, which means you get to see life, you get to live life, and you get to give life from the best seat in the house. But boy, the goal of the church shouldn't be to have so many people in our church that we can say, look at how big our church is. We should be making sure what we make big is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We need to make the population of heaven grow by getting more and more people saved. If you're a Christian, the number one reason why you didn't die the moment you got born again, because Jesus would have loved to have seen you. The moment you got born again, He'd love to have seen you in heaven. He'd love to have you in heaven. He has a place already reserved for you and made for you and builds a house for each of us. He'd love to see you there, but He wants to see other people there too. So He left you here on this earth so that you can make a difference and make an impact in the lives of the people around you. And there is no greater reward in this life than to know that you helped somebody else get to heaven. It's not about how big our church is or how popular it is or how many people watch our preaching or our songs or any of that. We do that to glorify God. We don't do that to glorify ourselves. But a lot of times people get trapped in this self-glorification, self-delusion. And I just want to like obliterate that insecurity in you and that sense of feeling less than or feeling like having success, if you have it, that somehow that gives you a sense of security. That should never give you a sense of security. Jesus said, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, instruct those that are rich not to trust in the uncertainty of their riches, not to put their hope or trust on the uncertainty of riches. He doesn't say instruct those that are rich never to be rich. He says instruct those that are rich not to put their hope and their trust in the uncertainty of riches, but rather put their hope and trust in the living God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Well, it's a powerful verse when you think about it, but he's telling us that even when you have something, your trust shouldn't be in that. Your trust shouldn't be in, oh, look at how successful I am, or look at the popular people that I know. Look at that's all just a game that the devil is messing with your mind to get you distracted and to get you to feel less than. Because there is never an empowering feeling when you compare yourself to somebody. It's a false empowerment when you look down at somebody who you might be doing better than, and it's a deceptive empowerment, not a true empowerment. And it's also a false sense of paralysis when you compare yourself to somebody who's doing quote unquote better than you. It paralyzes you from ever doing better than you're already doing. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to have a competition in your life, it needs to be competition with yesterday's version of you. But I want you to see that if you go to what this scripture is talking about, being seated with Christ in heavenly places, it's really powerful that we realize that when we compare, we despair, and then we realize that Jesus has been wanting us to sit with Him and He has seated us with Him in heavenly places. And comparison is always a consequence. It's always a consequence of losing perspective. Boy, when you see yourself as less than or more than, the first thing that being seated and sitting with Jesus does is it gives you a proper perspective. Just like certain seats at a football stadium, a soccer stadium, certain seats give you certain angles. You know, when an announcer is announcing a sporting event, they're not sitting on the field to tell you what's happening. They're not sitting in the front row to tell you what's happening, but they're sitting way up high to see everything from a big picture perspective so they can tell you all that's going on that field. When God made the first day, it was good. The second day, it was good. The third day, it was good. The fourth day, it was good. Fifth day, it was good. Sixth day, after the sixth day, it says it was very good, and He sat down. It says, and God rested. He sat. He looked at all that he had created. While he was creating it, he was busy. It was good, but he was busy making more stuff. But once he was done creating everything on the after the sixth day, he sat down, the Bible says, and he rested. And why could he rest? He rested because he saw all that he had done, and it was very good. He saw everything at one time. He didn't just see the first day's creation. He saw all of his 6 days of creation, and he got perspective. He had perspective. He didn't obtain it there. He always had it. But he had perspective, and he rested when he saw things from the finished work. And we get to see that same wave. As much as I want you to succeed in life, I want you to first succeed as knowing who you are in Christ and knowing who you are as a child of God. Because just as God finished his work on the sixth day and then he rested, Jesus finished the work when he was crucified so that we could then rest. So that when the finished work was done by Jesus on the cross, we could find rest. Perspective. You know, at a planetarium, a museum guide simply always states that all seats provide equal viewing of the universe. So when kids go on field trips, they race into the planetarium. They want to be the first ones to get to the best seats. And the guide has to remind them, you don't have to be in a hurry to find the best seat because all the seats are equal. They're all the best because you're looking up. You're not looking down. You're not looking just out. You're looking up. Every seat is the best when you're looking up. You won't miss any of it when you're looking up. Too many times we're looking out at others. We're looking in at ourselves. We're looking down on others. We have to be looking up at our possibilities. We have to be looking up at where God has seated us with Christ in heavenly places. Think about it. That is exactly how it is with Jesus. Everyone has the best seat. There's no better seat. I don't have a better seat than you. Somebody else doesn't have a better seat than me. Peter and Paul and John and the apostles, the Billy Grahams, the Oral Roberts, the great men and heroes of the past, they didn't have a better seat than you have or than I have. We all have been given an equal seat. Boy, when you get this, is when you start feeling happy in life. When you get this, that's when the joy starts coming and you start enjoying life. Even when you know it doesn't look like it's going good. Remember, doesn't matter how it's going. It only matters how it ends. It doesn't matter how it's going. It only matters how it ends. You know, no matter what's happening in my life, I find peace in knowing that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I find such gratitude in knowing that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I find such freedom in knowing that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Please, please hear me. Don't lose yourself in what others depict or portray or project as a better seat or a better life. It doesn't matter to me how many followers Justin Bieber has. It doesn't matter to me how many followers somebody else has. It doesn't matter to me. The only thing that matters to me is how many followers Jesus has. And I want to be one of them, and I want you to be one of them. You see, we've been invited to sit at the table. This is such a powerful word when the Bible says we're seated with him. We're not trying to find a seat. Seated means rest. It means it's already accomplished. It means it's already all done. We don't need to strive. We don't need to take what someone else has. Seated with Christ means there's room for all of us at the table. You see, when we compare, it means we don't believe there's room for everyone. You know, if I don't think there's room for everyone, I would define that as small thinking. If you don't think there's room for everyone, whether it means you don't think there's room for that guy, or you disdain somebody else and you're like, well, I don't think there's room for them, or you disdain yourself and you're like, oh, there's not room for me. But the truth is, is there's room for everybody. It actually makes you humble knowing that you didn't pick that seat. God picked it for you. It actually makes you humble and thankful. It makes you realize that it's all because of what he did. Seated means we don't have to prove we belong. We don't have to try to fit in with the high achievers or the popular or the cute. You belong because you're his. You belong because you belong to him. You belong because you belong. Not because of your color, of your ethnicity or your economic situation or your popularity. You belong because you're his. Think about this. Think about how this will change your emotional equilibrium and make you healthy when you really know that you're seated at the greatest table with the greatest king. You know, Paul, the apostle who wrote the book of Ephesians and Philippians, you know, he didn't write these books while he was seated at a royal table. He didn't write these books while he was with the great emperors of Rome. He wrote these scriptures while in prison. Many of the scriptures Paul wrote, he wrote when in prison. How would a person write something so powerfully from prison? Because they know he knew he was seated. He knew he was seated with Christ. You know, I used to live like I was fighting for a seat at the table. In my early years as a Christian, because of my insecurities, because of my whatever sense of inferiority I had, everything was about trying to prove I was special or I was important. I used to want to sit with the successful people and influential people. But when I discovered where I was truly seated with Christ in heavenly places, that became enough for me. Everything I longed for. What do we long for? We all long for belonging. We long for being recognized, being approved. But all of that comes when you know who you are in Christ. It swallows up your insecurities. But it really helped me to take my eyes off of myself and just rest at my seat and be able to worship Jesus and be able to put my head on his bosom like John the apostle did. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. But much of my early Christian years, I was fighting not to do good works, but for finding a seat at the table. I was saved, but I just was stupid. So I tried to prove I belonged. I tried to earn seats with my preaching. I tried to earn approval through personality, my knowledge of the Bible, whatever. I'm not even good at those things. Frankly, I'm okay, but I'm good at knowing whose I am and that I'm seated. Knowing the gifted, prestigious, influential people, honestly, I don't even know who those people are anymore. I don't know who are the most popular people. I don't follow them. I don't compare myself to them. I did, but none of that matters to me anymore. If I ever feel a trace of it or a hint of it, I got to stop myself now and remind myself I have a seat at the greatest table in the world, and I don't have to fight for it. Now my objective is to bring more people to the knowledge of their seat. Whew. So there's so many takeaways here that when you, the way out of comparison is not with success, it's with perspective. The way out of comparison doesn't come from success, it comes from perspective. And on the other hand, bitterness and inferiority and insecurity comes from a small, limited point of view. It comes from this feeling of you're disadvantaged and you're less than somebody else because of your color or your experiences or your age or your financial, current financial condition. All that stuff goes away when you realize that in Jesus Christ, there is neither male nor female. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. Jesus levels the playing field and gives us all the victory and gives us all a seat at his table. And that, my friend, is the recipe for happiness and joy. And when we give up this comparison trap by understanding who we are and whose we are, and understand the right perspective, looking at it from the seat that we've been given, man, that stuff just loses its power over you. It starts falling off of you. You don't have to be disciplined to get rid of, you should be disciplined in life, but that is not what delivers you from the comparison to others. What delivers you from that is understanding your seat at the table, my seat at the table. It's the same. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That makes me smile. I hope it does for you as well. I want to thank you for joining me today on Think Like a Champion. I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open every person's eyes connected to me right now, open their spiritual eyes to see their seat is reserved by you for them, and they don't have to strive anymore. And we are equal in Christ. We are co-heirs. We are joint heirs with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So thanks again. I want to ask you to share this. If you like it, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and give. I want to ask and invite you to pay it forward and give. Like the Bible says, when you give, it is given back to you. Like, get in this lifestyle and rhythm of giving to help get this message out to so many more people and to plant the good seeds that you get to plant in the kingdom of God, in the soil of God's kingdom, and watch those seeds grow and see those seeds change other people's lives and change your life as well. Thanks again for joining me on Think Like a Champion, and I can't wait to talk to you on our next episode. And I'll see you on Sunday. You can go to lifechangerschurch.com anywhere in the world and join me for one of our worship services on Sunday. Love you guys. God bless.